Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Thun Si was born into a Buddhist family in Laos. At age 9, she immigrated to Canada as a refugee. At age 12, she became a Christian at Gospel Light Bible Camp, but hid this from her parents. She got bitten by the acting bug and was never cured. She dreamed of becoming an actress. At the age of 19, after just a year at a Bible college in Steinbach, Manitoba, she moved to Ontario, where she attended Academy of Performing Arts in Cambridge, alongside Youth with a Mission. Thinking her dreams were well on its way, Thun joined theater and company as an apprentice, and later moved to California, where she met her husband, Bill. But God had other plans. Other plans. Has God ever had other plans for you, dear listener? I think when we go through moments like these, when there are detours, divine detours in our lives, and God reveals these other plans, they are indicative of His hand upon our lives, His grace, His provision, His guidance, His love. And that's why we're here. And the reason we're here with you is quite simple. The Good Life Radio program is here to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Because just in case the Lord has other plans, plans that are, in hindsight, far better than anything you could have ever imagined, you would want to know and be grateful, I think, over the course of time, to know that you can know His plan because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And that's why when there are divine detours, a person should be inclined to move in that direction and walk in that way because there's no better way to go. And we're here to remind you that Jesus is calling you to Himself, even as He called Thun Si. You know, after years of searching to fulfill her dreams, she now knows there's a long road between reality and those dreams. She has traveled a long way to discover what it is that she's wanted and what God wanted. And sometimes they require desert-like experiences and the field work for preparation of life and faith. Thun is here with us by phone in Southern California, and I'm blessed to have her with us today. Thun, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Danny, and aloha to your listeners as well.
Well, we give you a big aloha as well. Thun, I mentioned you grew up in Canada, but you were born into a Buddhist family in Laos. Talk to us about that. What was that like?
Well, you know, I don't have too much memory of that. I came when I was very little, about 7 or 8 years old. You know, during the time, the Vietnam War in that era in the 1970s, the mid-70s, with the war happening there, and there was mass exodus of, you know, refugees or the boat people that would immigrate to Canada, to the U.S., France, or Australia. You know, majority of it was in the States. So our family was more near the end, around 1978, 79, around there. And so we were in Thai border camps, and we stayed there as refugees until we had sponsors that would sponsor our family. And we initially had wanted to come to America but it didn't happen that way. And so we had sponsors from Canada. And so then the whole family, my parents and my three other siblings, and I was the oldest, and then we would be sponsored to Canada. So in the whole process, I think within about a year or so, we were sponsored and moved to Canada. And from what I did know at the time, from, you know, I was born to 6, 7 years old to where I am coming at 8 years old and know nothing of the language. I didn't know a word of English, a whole brand new culture. I mean, it was a devastation back in Laos, where, you know, a war-torn country. So a lot of people who were in my era, my time, being born in the early 70s, would remember those types of events that took place of, you know, of the war and being in refugee camps and then being sponsored to whether the U.S. or Canada. So
what feeling did you have being so young, coming to, going to Canada? How did you feel when you got there?
Well, just, one of the vivid memory that I do have when I first, you know, just running away, usually during the nighttime we would escape and my dad would have friends and other people who kind of knew the route, kind of like a coyote type, where they would take us crossing the border, the Thai border, to escape from Laos. I remember running alongside the soldiers, and I was, you know, too heavy to be carried. I was old enough to run, but my siblings were carried and so forth. And it was in the middle of the night, and there's gunshots, fire, you know, bombs going off, gunshots going off, and I would be running alongside the soldiers and trying to cross, like, in this kind of like a dinghy boat, a rowboat type of thing, crossing the border with all of us in there with pretty much a shirt on our backs and maybe a bag of clothes. So it was a very, very scary time. I didn't know what was happening, what was going on, but, I mean, there were gunshots and fires and bombs going off. So, and that's the middle of the night. And we would only escape, lay low during the day, and then would run for our lives literally during the evening and during nighttime. And so when we finally got across the border, there was a relief. But, you know, then we never know what is the next step, what's going to happen. You know, none of us could swim, and we could be drowned to death, be shot to death, or whatever it is that would be waiting on the other side, even, you know, while we're trying to escape. So there's always fear, constant running for your life. So, and then coming, then finally coming to another land, to another country, more fear, more unknown, and more uncertainties that, you know, is always before us constantly. So, yeah, but I don't have too many of those memories. It seems like I've forgotten a lot of the things, but those are the early formation of my years of just running for your life and in fear and coming to another land, another country, no knowledge of language, no knowledge of culture, and, you know, going from a tropical weather country to, we came in the dead of winter in December, and was near Christmas time, and in Canada, in Manitoba, where it's dubbed as Winter Pig instead of Winnipeg, that's where we got sponsored to. So it was freezing cold, from tropical land to, my dad called it, you know, frozen hell. He said, what have we done? We brought us to frozen hell, he said. So it was cold. So needless to say, it was just a time of, you know, fear for our family, of uncertainty. Yes.
I see that the Lord has really developed you from a very young age to go through that, which is, as you describe it, most people have no idea what, not only what that's like in terms of seeing it, I mean, you watch it in a movie, or you hear about it, but to live it, there's an extreme amount of faith that I feel God instills in a person to face those fears early on, not knowing what's going to happen. And that's the thing, faith, you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what tomorrow will be like, but to maintain a sense of resolve, to maintain a sense of steadiness, I can see a strength that has obviously grown in and through you over the years. Who would you say influenced you most in those growing up years?
Well, I think there's several different people and events actually influenced me, but obviously the very beginning would be my parents and my dad in particular, because he is a Buddhist and he still is, you know, where he would just influence us as children growing up, but he's more of a strong, silent type, because a lot of times Buddhists, they don't talk a whole lot. They're all the time, you know, just silent many times, and for him, he wasn't much of a talker anyway. So with us growing up, you know, he just kind of just lived his life and very quietly and very just work hard, trying to provide for his family, try to keep things together, and just not allow us to experience further fear as we're growing up. And you know that mom and dad are together. We're all in one room when we first came. It was in a hotel before we transitioned to a home and things like that. So we had some time, a few months, in a little hotel room where we had just our parents and each other to cling to. We didn't know people. Everybody was a complete stranger, as I said, a land that we do not know, a language, a culture we do not know. So he was kind of like our protector. We looked to him because he did know. We thought he could speak English. He knew a few words and, mm-hmm. you know, a few words in French, and that he was the one we looked to as to guide us, to protect us, mm-hmm. And to be able to just help us through, you know, navigate through life of what's going to happen. So I looked to my dad and, you know, his quiet strength and all that, that kind of provided a way of just stabilizing us as a family.
That
and
kind of, yeah. You know, Tune, that kind of stability under those circumstances really, as a father, is heroic. And you've been blessed in that way. When we come back, you mentioned your father, you were raised in a Buddhist family, born into a Buddhist family, but that something happened when you became 12 years old. At the age of 12, you went to a camp, and something took place. When we come back from our break, I want you to explain to us, share with us what happened, and not only what happened, but how you handled it with your family. I remember you sharing that with me, and it struck me. Well, maybe it was faith, maybe it was courage that was instilled early on because of the background from which you came. Tune C is with us, and she'll be back to share more when we return. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
What would it be like for you if, as an 8-year-old, you're being forced... You need to, because your family, your mom, dad, they're carrying your siblings, and you're running through these fields, muddy fields, getting on a boat. You hear bombs and guns being shot, and you don't know if you're going to make it. You're leaving. You're trying to get from this place to a place of safety, and you don't know what tomorrow will hold. And then you find yourself not only from Laos to Thailand, you find yourself in the middle of winter, Christmas time, in Canada, and it is freezing. Big changes in the face of fear, but survival. And that's the story of Toon C. It's just the beginning. Toon is with us by phone from Southern California. And you're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad you're with us today. If you're tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety for free. Free podcasts at thegoodlifehawaii.com. That and other resources for you. And typically, you know, I say pass it on to a family member or friend. Spread the word about the stories, life-changing stories that the Lord has allowed us to present. Toon, you're in Canada. 12 years old. What happened at a camp?
Well, as I start accumulating or having more understanding and went to school, learning some English and things like that, of course, with the sponsorship, they took us to church, and I was quite interested. You know, every little thing was a learning experience for me. So I wanted to learn. I wanted to know this culture, this new land. So when we went to church, we have families that would come pick us up. And I thought, wow, they're so nice. I didn't understand a lot of what they're saying, but what I saw was the kindness and the love that they have for one another. People at church, they were being friendly, saying hello to each other, and just be able to experience it just by looking and observing them and just the way that they were communicating. And they would, you know, go out together to eat. They would have vacations together and stuff like that. I've never known such a thing. As I said, with the background that I come from, it was running in fear, and here coming to a place people are enjoying themselves. And so when we go to church, they would take us, myself and my siblings, to church. Then I just experienced like the love of Christ through these people. And I thought, oh, one day, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a Christian. That's what I had said in my heart. And I knew my parents were not. And I didn't know how that was going to take place. So they said, does your children want to go to camp? And it was summertime. And, of course, my parents let us go. And when I went, as I said, I've experienced church a little bit through picking me up every Sunday and then going to summer camp. And again, I saw that same type of love and the same type of Christian love that they bestowed upon one another. And I said, I want this kind of love. I want this kind of peace, or something in them is different. What is it? So as I went through the days and weeks and just having great time, and when they had chapel time, again, I didn't understand a whole lot. but it's what I saw. It's how God touched me through the lives of others, through the counselors, the campers and things like that, and their behavior. It just touched me. And at 12, I said, I want to give my life to Christ. I didn't understand a whole lot what that mean or what I had to do and all that. So when the counselor or one of the director had preached and then asked if anyone wants to give their life to Christ, I raised my hand. And that's the time I didn't remember a lot of my childhood, but I remember that moment where I raised my hand and I received Christ. And that goes to show you it's not so much of all the theology we need to understand, mm-hmm. all the things we have to know first about this and that, but truly it's the way we live our lives and the way we display love to others that they may not know the language or even know a lot of theology on that, but it's what they see and experience through you as believers that others can come through Christ, which I'm an example of that.
How has your relationship with Christ made a difference in your life from the age of 12?
Well, I remember one time when I went to the store. This is after I came back from camp. I hid it from my parents. They did not know what happened. And I felt something was different in me. Something's changed, but you just don't know. Well, what does that all mean? It was just all a secret. And so I went to a store, 7-Eleven in Canada. I was riding my bike. And I thought I took something that I didn't pay for. And I felt guilty about riding my bike home. And I said, no, I don't think I paid for this candy. So I rode back and I told the front desk person and I said, I don't think I paid for this candy. I want to bring it back because that would be stealing. And he just looked at me and said, kid, you can have that candy because I've never seen a kid would come back to return a candy they thought they stole, mm-hmm. you know. So I just felt that that aspect of the way the Holy Spirit was working in me mm-hmm. and the influence of the difference of how God was touching my life, teaching me through just being with me and telling me, you know, through the Holy Spirit of saying that it's wrong and convicting me at an early age and having that kind of tenderness towards God when he's talking, when he's touching your heart and speaking to you and just listening to him. So then I knew it was real. It wasn't like I raised my hand and then nothing else happened afterwards. But he just guided me through my life and making a difference in how I should be growing up, being a teenager and being the first generation as a Christian. And what does that mean? I've never been shown how to live that life or have that life. It was just brand new. Everything I'm experiencing is brand new. And so when I experienced that beginning after camp and the candy, and I feel the Holy Spirit guiding and teaching me, and I knew then that that's the way that he's going to be dealing with us as believers, mm-hmm. is to teach and guide us and remind us of his word. Even if you haven't read it yet, mm-hmm. do not steal. And you know, because he writes it in our heart.
Mm. Toon, how about your parents growing up with your family? Was it challenging to be a Christian in a Buddhist home?
It was to some degree, but you know, I just thank God that they weren't the kind that would disown. Which I know I've gone to Bible college with classmates that have told me that their parents have disowned them because of turning away from one faith to another. But they were still supportive of me. They were still loving. They didn't like it, especially my dad was the higher ranking of a monk in the community. Now we've started establishing, you know, more of a loud community in Winnipeg and things like that. But friends have said things to them, you know, you're Buddhist and, you know, you're kind of like the elder in the community, and you do weddings and funerals and type of thing, and your eldest daughter is a Christian, you know. So it was hard for him, but again, he was a strong silent type. He didn't say much. He just watched me and see how I would live, how I would do. I mean, there comes a contact where we have fights about certain things of, you know, theological arguments that we would have between Buddhist and Christianity and things like that, that never goes well with him. But those are more of the conflicts, is more of that. But going to church, wanting to go to church, didn't want to do this, didn't want to do that. He was happy. I didn't want to, you know, hang out with certain crowds and going to parties and things like that. That wasn't my interest growing up, being a teenager. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to know God. And so for that, they're thankful. So in a sense, it was a saving grace for them of teenager growing up, and she didn't want to do all those teenagery things or being in trouble for all those typical things that teens get themselves in. So in that sense, it wasn't a difficult thing for us growing up or for them having me wanting that.
So the Lord touches your heart, and you're very conscientious of the abiding presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God guiding you, convicting you, speaking to you, prompting you. And you discovered that there was a gifting that He had given to you generously. And it came out in a passion. As an actress, I want to know how you discovered that tune. And when we come back, how did that happen? How did you know? Where did you find the interest? Were you watching a movie? Were you watching a play? How did you discover that it was more than just something that you were fascinated by, but something you wanted to do? You wanted to be that. And that God had given it to you to bless others. You're listening to the story of Tune C. And Tune is articulate in sharing this marvelous story of her life. She'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
The Lord is illustrious with colors, with creations, and He deposits an ability in each of us to envision something of what we want to be, something that we see as a goal or destination in our lives. And He allows us to have that. It gives us a sense of direction. But what about when we have a certain timetable, and when we reach that supposed timetable, when it's supposed to happen, it hasn't materialized? What do you do? How do you feel? Where do you go from there? If you've ever felt that way or been in that place, or perhaps you're there right now, you're listening to the right program, because our guest knows exactly what you feel like. And she's going to share what Christ has taught her through the process. I'm speaking of Tune C. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and it's a blessing that you're with us today, and I believe that you will be blessed as you hear from her. Get this program in its entirety as a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Tune, your passion. Your passion. What are you passionate about, and how did you discover it?
Well, definitely, without a doubt, I'm very passionate about theater, in being in acting and drama and things like that. And it started way back in fifth grade, again, just learning the language. And I was very, very shy. I didn't hardly speak. So when I raised my hand when the fifth grade teacher said, "Who wants this role?" We just wanted reenact out a story, The Lion and the Mouse, I remember. And I raised my hand when he called out the lion. And the other kids kind of giggled, because it's like, first of all, I hardly speak in class. Second of all, I speak with an accent, heavy accent. People couldn't understand me and things like that. And so, but he said he was wise to let me do it and not feel so bad about myself later on. So I decided to take on that and read the role of the lion. And I would just read it and act it out, or I think someone else read it and I act out the part. And since then, in fifth grade, you know, my teacher would go, "Oh, that was great, you know, you're so brave like a lion, and you hardly speak, and now you're roaring like a lion," and all that. And it just made me feel so good. I'm like, oh, I discovered something that...
Yes.
Outside of myself, if I pretend to be something else, someone else, and telling a story, I could get out of this shell of mine and outside of myself and being shy and things like that, and I could just be another place, another world, another character. And it just felt so good. And just being affirmed in that, of course, he was just, you know, being a nice teacher that he was. And since then, I made up my mind and said, you know, Lord, this is... two things. I want to be either a teacher or an actor. And since then, fifth grade, I just never stopped desiring to pursue and wanting to pursue to be an actor or an actress, and just finding different ways to go about pursuing that dream. And of course, again, hid from my parents. It's like, first of all, becoming Christian. And when you're a Christian, becoming an actor, it's like two double whammy. No, no. You know, so it's just like, wait, Christian actor or being an actor, and you're a Christian, how do you do that, or why you want to do that? And then from Buddhist family and becoming a Christian. So everything I'm choosing to do doesn't seem to fit the typical, you know, time frame of the way life goes, that type of thing. So I was an oddball and the black sheep of the family type of thing constantly in a lot of things that I do. So that was the beginning of my love for theater and just continue to pursue that. But it somehow, as I tried to do that and hiding it at the same time, because, you know, my parents wanted me to be the typical, either if you have a brain, you be a doctor or a lawyer who becomes an actor. And if you are somewhat good in education, become a teacher and all these other things. But don't pursue things that, A, doesn't make money. It's a typical Asian or any culture, right? Family is, you pursue things that make money. You pursue things that has things that you can be proud of. And so I have to hide that from them. I have to hide from everybody. And so it was hard to try to pursue something you're hiding from, in a sense, too. So it's a long road to try to discover yourself and then discover whether this is what God wants for me or just my desire that I wanted so much, so bad, so for so long that I just keep hiding it and keep wanting it, but only pursue half-heartedly. So all these years, you know, continually just finding ways to get myself out there to do what I wanted to do, and then trying to listen to God throughout, and not listening to him at the same time, but wanting to listen to him at the same time, and not wanting to do anything else but this. It just seems like, God, why do I have such a strong desire to do this, to tell stories, to be part of something that, you know, to create stories, to connect with people, to connect with the world and our the way that we are as human beings, and how to create art form, and wanting to learn, wanting to grow from that. And but it just didn't seem to manifest itself further than seems like just a desire and handful of experiences here and there, and it seems to kind of be in a stalemate. And so it was very difficult, and I feel like I'm living in this kind of place between desert time and being in the field and really nowhere to build from, because it's a place of hiding and a place of wanting to discover, you know? So,
sort of like wandering, a season of wandering, having a sense of the promised land, as it were, but wandering, and oftentimes feeling virtually aimless. How did you deal with that, Tune?
Well, it's difficult, and it still is to some degree. But I've come to learn that, you know, the old saying, kind of being planted where you bloom, or bloom where you're planted, and finding ways to find contentment that God hasn't totally taken that away. But at the same time, God hasn't fully blessed you to go all out and do it professionally like some other Christians have had the, you know, the blessing of doing it professionally or doing that as their full-time work or ministry. And so as I wait whether this is going to grow further or just, you know, you get experiences here and there once in a while, is to say, okay, Lord, what other giftings, what other ways can I open my mind, my heart to you and just take it and use it? I don't feel I have a great gifting in acting anyway. I don't feel I have a great gifting in hospitality anyway or being available or anything else like that that much. But I was really, I recognized that it was me that is minimizing his gifting, and I made it smaller. Even though it might be small in the beginning, but I made it smaller. By making it smaller, I didn't want to serve with what I was given until I recognized that even no matter how big or small that gifting may be, just use it, let him grow it, let him bless it so that I can bless others. And so through living at a church home here, I was able to then allow God to just grow me in that of hospitality. So my husband and I, we kind of run to like a hospitality church home where we have pastors or missionaries or those who are in need of temporary housing, and we would house them, and we would be able to provide hospitality. So that's one of the ministry we've been doing for the last 10 years at our church here. And then we have other ministries that just being available to people and allowing God to work in my heart and say, Lord, can I bloom where I'm planted here so that you can teach and grow me as a person of faith, the way that I walk and talk would match what I believe first, because anything else is secondary anyway. So I had to learn that. So no matter what I do, even if I was to make it in the business and become, you know, an actor in Hollywood or whatever it is, if my faith is not strengthened and I'm not growing and I'm not finding contentment in what I have and give of what I have and give all that I have and surrender myself to him, then it's really nothing anyway. You know, it's all like in a wasteland where I've wandered in the desert, I've got something great, but I really have lost everything without having that kind of understanding and letting God grow me and allowing me to say you have other things instead of just this one thing you want, because you're not this one thing that I identify you. You are a child of God, and all areas of your life that you live, your work, your with your family, with your kids, you got to be the kind of person, a mother, a wife, you know, a servant of God, in a way that I need to grow you, the way that I kind of relate to the way that he had to grow Moses in that wilderness of 40 years before he could go back and you know, bring the people back out. But he had that desert experience, that field work, if you will, mm-hmm. of life and of faith before he could ever be strong enough to empty of himself, to fully then fill it up with God's love and truth and power. And then he went, you know, and we know that story there very well with Moses there. So it's just trying to learn from that and connecting with that. And that's why I love stories. So through stories like that, I just imagine like this epic thing of stories, you know, and how my life is part of that as well, too, that I'm also living in that kind of desert experience and fieldwork experience, so that my faith, my love for God can really grow and use all other areas of different giftings we all have. It's not just one big thing, but it's all the little things in life that we use for Him.
You do give hope for someone today who has got to do some fieldwork. They're in their desert-like experience. You're listening to Toon C. Toon has had a passion for acting as a child. She's pursued it. It's grown. She's had opportunities. And yet there is that waiting period because of the vision that she's had. And in the meantime, her faith has grown deeply as she shares. She's unearthing some of the deep treasures of the spiritual life, of the life as a Christian, the Christian life. She's helping us dust those things off as they are unearthed, blowing off some of the excess to see the incredible sparkling value of faithfulness and growing where you're planted. More from Toon C when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling,
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So you wait, and you pray, and you wait. And instead of minimizing what you think is a small gift, which you thought was some seeming odd way that you were inadequate to fulfill what you had envisioned, well, you begin to treasure what small thing it is, at least in your mind. Might not be for someone else. They might look at it and go, wow, that's huge. But in your mind, you take that small gift that God has given and you begin to use it. You begin to exercise that gift and you begin to see God growing you where you were planted. It's the story of Toon C. She's our guest today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. It's a blessing that you're with us all the way from Laos to stopping in Thailand and then ending up in Canada, growing up there. Now she's in the United States and the Lord is using her in a very powerful way, part of which she is here with us today to share heart to heart about her journey. Find out more about our program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Toon, how has the Lord opened doors for you in increments as you begin to see the dream being realized?
Well, as I was watching, a friend of mine saw called The Last Appeal with Eastern Sky Theater, and she told me, because she knows I love theater and acting, and she said, you got to go see them. So I said, okay, if she says I got to go, I got to go. So I went to go see them. I was blown away, the talent, the acting, the whole thing, you know, and I said, this is Christian, you know, this is a church play. So, which we always kind of cringe on that. It's like, oh, church, Christian, you know, can't be that good. I went there. I was absolutely just blown away that, as I said, it was just beautifully acted, and the story itself was just riveting. So I went to see it, and then I thought, oh, Lord, now, you know, is the desert time over? Can I get involved now? And that, can I do this? I really want to do this. You know, it hasn't gone away. It hasn't died. And it wasn't happening then again, and then until a couple of years later, my husband went to one of the church for men's group, and he said, guess what? Eastern Sky is coming into this church to do it. Do you want to go see it again? And when I went to see it, I was still blown away the second time and cried and laughed and all these things. And then he said, my husband finally, then he said, why don't you go and audition for them? I'll support you. This time he did. Many, many years he did not. Mm. He didn't want me to do it. So the Lord, in a sense, not opened my doors for me, but first he had to open doors to my husband's heart to support me and allow me to do this. And without that kind of support, I could not do it. So it wasn't in secrecy of desire, wanting to do it anymore, but now he's really blessed me, my husband, and support me. So I decided, okay, I'll go audition. And then I thought I was just going to audition for the play, The Last Appeal, but then they also said that we want you to be part of the theater company, to be part of the company there. So I'm just very grateful and thankful that no matter the amount that I get involved in, that he has not completely taken away, which I prayed away because it was a thorn in my side. But he's given it in increments of blessing to just be involved. But the rest of my life is be available, as I said, to give to him and surrender our lives to him. We're not identified by what we do best or want to do and be known for certain things that we do as an identity. But we are a child of God, and first and foremost. And so we do everything in life in the glory, for the glory of him. So in that sense, then, he's blessed me to be part of the Eastern Sky Theater, and I just enjoy being with them and acting with them and just taking the plays itself, particularly The Last Appeal, across Los Angeles County and all of Southern California with this wonderful show. And, you know, the audience can find out more about it if they want to know, and we can get them the link to know more of Eastern Sky Theater.
What do they have a website?
Yes, the website is www.easternskytheater.org, and you can find out more about them, about what we do and our mission statement and the show lineups and things like that, and other programs and workshops that Eastern Sky put out, and it's available. So, yeah, we would love for you to visit the website and find out more. But it's a wonderful theater company that really seeks to honor God and, you know, putting out wonderful shows, evangelistic type of plays that is a cutting edge and that is Broadway-like talent. And a lot of the actors there are in the business as well. So you'll get, and it's free. Most of the time you go see these shows are free because it is an outreach for believers to bring their friends and co-workers and other people to really come and enjoy and see and experience theater if they've never experienced before.
How does it feel, Tune, when you're on stage and you're performing and it's happening? Describe that for us.
Well, first of all, it's still scary. It's still having that slight stage fright for the moment. But once I'm on there, then, you know, you forget everything else and you're just involved in the moment and with the other actors playing, you know, together as a character. And you just forget all that and really have to just be in character and be in the moment. And when I am, I find myself just, what it is that I love doing, and it's right there. And then I just feel like this is what I truly experienced in life and love, and just the way that creating that story together and finding a theater that just loves the Lord. I know it's hard to describe something that it's an experiential thing for me that I just, it's being in the moment. I don't know how else to describe that at this point.
Well, being in the moment, truly being in the moment, well, that alone is a gift from God. To know that you're there for a reason and you're fulfilling God's destiny. Oh, gosh, that's a word for someone today who is wondering, hey, how about some incremental steps for me, Lord? You know, I've been waiting. Someone might be feeling that way at this moment. And you've given a word of encouragement through your story. Could you pray for them? Could you pray for this one person? You know, people, when they hear, they're hearing your story heart to heart, like God is speaking to them one-on-one. Could you pray for them?
Absolutely. I'd be honored. Father God, we come before you, and you're a God that is faithful, God that is loving, God that is true. And when you tell us to wait, Father, you have a reason, and you do want to grow us. You want us to become more like you. You said in your word that let us make man in our image. And Lord, in the beginning, we were to look like you, to be perfect, to be holy, and to be sinless. But Father, as we know our forefather and mother, that through Adam and Eve, they've sinned. And they no longer had looked like you, and down to us, we no longer look like you. We didn't act like you. We didn't behave the way you want us to, and being perfect the way you are. And so, Lord, you sent your Son to come, and where he has to come to look like us, because we no longer look like you, you had to send your Son to look like us, so that he would teach us and show us and to bear back your image again, to look like you again, Father, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that gift that you've given of life, of eternal life, through faith in you, through believing in you. And so, Father, as we believe that as we give our lives, whatever we have, to be content with what we have and what you've given, to learn that lesson and to grow and to bloom, Father, where we're planted, and to give everything we have back to you. And through that, Lord, would you bless those who need the blessing, whether it's in increments or whether it's a downpour out of a blessed waterfall of just drenching them with your blessing and showering them, Father, with the hope and with the love that they need to experience that, knowing that you are with them. You see them. You see their heart's desire. But may they desire you first and foremost, and through that love and through that seeking you first, that all these things shall be added unto them, Father. So I pray that they would wholeheartedly understand and take hold of that, that they must seek you, thirst after you, hunger after you, and to go about doing your business first. And so when they're doing your business, Lord, all the other things, it doesn't seem to matter so much, and that the identity we have is through Christ and in you alone, that we can find true fulfillment, and through you we can truly be blessed. And so we thank you and we praise you, and I pray that, again, that the blessing would flow, Father, as they give their life and their heart over to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Tunsi. Tunsi prays for you. And Tun, I appreciate your heart. You know, it's obvious that you're thrilled to be a member of Eastern Sky Theater Company, traveling there around Los Angeles County and all Southern California, impacting audiences for the Lord Jesus Christ, exciting, entertaining, these powerful, excellent evangelistic plays, high level. You can find out more at easternskytheater.org. Toon is happy serving at her church, at Community Christian Alliance Church, with her husband Bill and her two girls, Melody and Aria. Toon, thank you so much for being with us today. You have been a blessing from God.
Well, thank you so much. My honor. Thank you so much, Danny, for having me.
My friend, I hope that as you've listened to Toon sharing her journey, her story, that you were blessed and moved by her insights. She's a woman of action, a woman of faith and courage, and you can be too. In fact, together we say you are that as well. God's timing is indeed perfect, and you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus, just like Toon C just did, the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I've got a special message I've put together for you there at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. And if you want to stand with us, hold hands and partner with us financially, make a donation at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. 1 Timothy 6, 6 and 7 says, "Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Toon C. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Antai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.